Well, good morning, everybody. Certainly a privilege and a pleasure for me to have this opportunity to speak to you today in the New York congregation. I'll just briefly introduce myself before I get into my message. My name's Paul Spencer. I'm originally from the Isle of Man, which, although many of you might not have heard of the Isle of Man yet, we hold, it's in between England and Ireland in the Irish Sea, or equidistant between England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales, and we hold claim to the oldest parliament in the world, established by Vikings just over 1,000 years ago. The most dangerous sporting event takes place there, the Isle of Man motorbike races. If you watch that on YouTube, it's quite terrifying. And I'd also say that the Bee Gees were born on the Isle of Man and that I was born in the same hospital. I'm a single father of three children who I have every other week, twin boys who are 15 now, Aaron and Isaac, and also a little girl who's 13, Victoria. For work, for the last 30 years, I've been laying floors, wood floors, carpets, vinyls, and today I mainly specialize in wet rooms, the Scandinavian wet rooms, where you've got vinyl on the floors and the walls. Appreciate everybody's situation just now with the regarding having to stay home for the Sabbath there and the holy days, as it seems, next week with Pentecost and also as you've done with Passover and unleavened bread. But here I've been keeping the Sabbath on my own for 16 years, which if somebody told me 16 years ago that would happen, I probably would have fainted. But anyway, that's to be my situation. And like many of you today, I will often, I don't do it all the time, but we often put on our shirt and tie, even when my children aren't here. And we'll log into webcasts, or we'll do have a beyond today service, as we call it, when they were younger. And even when I'm sat on my own, I'll still sing hymns and have a service here in Sweden on my own. As I say, I live in Sweden. Which is halfway, where I live is halfway between Gothenburg and Stockholm. If you look on the map, there's a town called, or a city called Linköping, or you'd maybe pronounce it Linköping. I live just below that city. As I say, about halfway between Stockholm and Gothenburg. You probably have heard a lot about Sweden with regard to the coronavirus and that we've taken a different, or the government have taken a slightly different stance here. But there is, we can stay home from work. People who work from home should work from home or can work from home. There is a certain amount of queuing and social distancing, but we certainly haven't shut down the country. And as yet, I'm yet to have a day off. My life has pretty much carried on as normal. With regards to America, New York City is certainly on my bucket list. I would hope to come and visit you all there one day. But I have been to ABC in 2004, back in the glory years, as we call them, and also to Camp Oakhurst in California back in 1999, and also a couple of winter family weekends, so maybe I have met one or two of you there. I also thank Mr. and Mrs. Lewis and Lena Van Orsel for this opportunity to speak, and as they may have mentioned, they have visited us here in Sweden back in 2016, and we have very fond memories of that. So without over-laboring in any introduction, I again just wish you all a happy Sabbath, and we'll move on to this message. In these trying times, brethren, I think it's very important for us all to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. And in this quite simple message, what I plan to present today, I would hope to do that. Today, I want to talk about something I thought the church had wrong. And I won't just say the church, I'll push it out a little bit further than that. I thought that the whole of professing Christianity, as we call it, as we know it today, had this particular thing wrong. Now, when I tell you what it is, you'll probably think I'm a little bit stupid for missing this one. But when we're going through it again with you, how I came to understand it, hopefully the answer and this information will be even more fixed in your mind than it may already be. But that said, for these few minutes, what I want you to do, as the brethren of God there in New York and wherever you're listening on the webcast, is to just pretend that you're not experts in Hebrew and Greek, and that once you were just like me, you were reading this verse for the very first time. So let's just pretend you're reading this verse for the first time. Turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah. I think I pronounced that differently to you guys. I think you might be, I've forgotten how you guys pronounce it, but I say Isaiah. Now I've got myself confused. But in the book of Isaiah, we'll read in chapter 7, so if you could turn there, please. Now, when I first came into the church, I'll give you a little bit of church background I deliberately missed in the beginning. I started reading church literature about 1993, and was baptized on the August the 6th, 1995. And when I came in, one of the first things, I had no religious background whatsoever. I didn't know where the book of Genesis was, you know, or anything. Just completely and utterly biblically ignorant. But when I came in and started reading church literature and understanding whether it's Christmas was pagan or not in the Bible, first year I thought, nah, that can't be right. But then you read and the keeping holy days and different things, the Sabbath isn't on a Sunday and all this sort of, these kind of understandings and doctrines that we learned to see to be incorrect that we had previously understood. But one of the things I accepted very quickly, and I don't say this in a naive way, because I did spend a long time studying the literature as well, and still do, try to half an hour every day. But one of the things that I was convinced of early was that this was the church of God, and that Jesus Christ was the head. I'm pretty sure I couldn't have said it as succinctly as that, but I certainly, that is what I believed in, and I trusted and I thought, and I still think like this, and I say not in a naive way, we ought to prove and test and everything else, but that if we're the church of God and we're headed by Jesus Christ, then we would have the correct information, we would be right on things. And I found that holy days and Sabbath, even though the way I keep these things has grown and developed over the years, I trusted that the understanding would come as I read, as I studied, as I grew. And during these early years, I was constantly, it seemed to be, reading Isaiah 2 and Isaiah 4 and, you know, 7 and 9, read these millennial verses, 11, all about the kingdom of God. I seemed to be overdosing in these chapters. And in fact, we're going to read one of these messianic prophecies now, because in chapter 7, verse 13, we read this. And again, I just, please for now, don't be experts in Hebrew and Greek, just for this brief moment. Because it says in verse 13, then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? And then verse 14, where our focus is here. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's only happened once. It can only be referring to one thing. There's only one virgin out there who's ever conceived a son and given birth and bear a son. And you shall call his name Emmanuel. And again, let's just pretend like I was. You're reading that for the first time. I was pretty convinced the church was, I was in the, you know, reading the right information, the right understanding. And I couldn't work out for the life of me why we didn't call him Emmanuel. I had no idea. I genuinely was completely and utterly lost. Now, those of you who, you know, be experts in Hebrew and Greek, just for this brief moment, and you can shout the answer out to the screen, just to really hopefully keep it embedded in your mind. But I had no idea, and I just thought, well, one day I'll probably know. There's probably a rational explanation. I wasn't blind to think that I was the only one who had ever spotted this. But it wasn't the biggest issue in the world. I was reading so much, I didn't have time to dwell on every idea or thought that came. So I just left it in that side of the brain where, or that part of the brain where, to be continued. And one day, you know, the answer would come, hopefully, and I'd understand it. Now, it must have been maybe 10 years later, I would have read the answer, don't get me wrong, I would have, you know, but about 10 years later, I ended up in reading this information, which I completely reject up front, I'll say that, about Christ being a created being in some way, shape, or form, or however people want to explain that idea, which I reject. And so, I don't know if maybe some of you guys do this as well, but sometimes what I do is I'll just think about a doctrine or something. Like recently I was thinking, if somebody says the holy days are done away, how would I answer that in my head? And I just lie there on my bed or whatever, and I just think, well, what about this verse? What about that verse? And in that particular instance, the verse that came to my head was Pentecost, which is next in 2 weeks, is it? And I thought, well, if the church was founded on the day of Pentecost and was meeting on the day of Pentecost, how could we possibly say that the church should no longer be keeping the holy days? I mean, so that was that one done and dusted. But I lay on my bed thinking about this Christ-created false idea. And I thought I turned to the obvious verses in John 1, in Hebrews 1, various other places. And then I thought to myself, well, let's just go back to him being born. That seemed to be a good place to start, just the way I was processing the information. Turn over, please, to Matthew chapter 1. And here we found, 10 years later, Paul finds the answer. Again, I say, I would have read it, I would have known it, but I just didn't, the dots hadn't yet connected between my original question back when I first came in. But Matthew chapter 1, and we'll read verse 23. It says, and here's the answer, directly quoting the book of Isaiah. It says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And here's the little bit of information that I didn't have, I didn't know, which is translated God with us. Emmanuel literally means God with us. The answer had arrived. There's lots of examples in the scriptures where God changes the names. I'll just bookend it, but with Abram to Abraham, Saul to Paul. Because what God does is he calls things what they are. I think Adam means red dust or something, I think, off the top of my head. But God calls things what they are, and it is no different here. I mean, if you try to explain it, what was taking place, who was here, and where he was and who he was, you cannot do it in fewer words than this. He was God, and he was with us. And that is a very, very profound thing to understand like we do. And what I came to realize is that the church, and well, I'll just keep it with the church, but the church wasn't in fact wrong on this. Because although we may not often refer to him as Emmanuel, we do definitely, definitely refer to him as God. And we refer to him as the God who was with us. Because he is God, and he was with us. And so this little lack of understanding that I had back in the day was clarified for me that the church does actually refer to him as God with us. Just in case anybody misunderstands what I'm saying, just a few verses in Matthew here as we start to bring this to a close. In Matthew chapter 1, we'll just jump over a few verses. Verse 16 says, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Verse 18. Now this is the birth of Jesus Christ. In verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. In verse 25. And did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Savior, which is perfectly good. I mean, in Isaiah, I was reading 7, in chapter 9, you know, it says wonderful counselor, you know, mighty God, and all these different names he's given. So it's not just a unique one just to always have to say Emmanuel. But we do certainly refer to him as the God who was with us. And therefore, you know, he wasn't created, he was God. In fact, then you read the other verses around it, which isn't my point today, but, you know, he was also the creator. And in fact, in Ezekiel, I think it's 28, it refers to Satan being the created, which obviously didn't go down very well. So the created is trying to accuse the creator of being created. It's absolutely, you know, it's so messed up logic, it's unbelievable. But just to be clear, we refer to Jesus Christ as the God who was with us. And just to close, because this has always been their plan, they want to be with their people, with their creation. Turn to Revelation chapter 21, where we'll read what is probably in everybody's top five favourite verses. And when I've finished reading this verse, I'll hand the service back over to Mr. Van Orstel. I really appreciate the chance to be here today with everyone. I wish you all a tremendous Sabbath. I'm going to hopefully join the webcast and then onto WebEx, I think it is, or something afterwards to fellowship, hopefully. It's been a pleasure to speak, but I just want to say, we want to keep our focus on Jesus Christ in these trying times where we have to, you're staying at home and you're not meeting with other people and different problems with stress over work and health and jobs and everything else that's going on. You know, we need to keep each other in our prayers and we need to keep our focus on Jesus because their plan is coming to fruition. We will be dwelling with us. That is their plan. That is why he called him his name. Revelation 21, verse 3 to close. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He's with us. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them. Wonderful plan. Wonderful, wonderful scripture. And be their God.